B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
I've never lied to you guys before, and I'm not going to start now. Believe me when I tell you, it's always a thrill when you get a chance to talk to Rob Halford from the legendary Judas Priest. The metal god is on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. He's got this new record out called Celestial. It's all about putting people in the Christmas spirit, and he told me all about it.
Tremendous dynamics and a real beautiful Christmas time holiday spirit journey together.
Of course, we had to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and what it's like being 50 years in your career, looking down the barrel of what could be your induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And who else would you like to see inducted?
Well, definitely Lizzy, Motorhead, they all need to be in there.
Oh, and how's Glenn Tipton doing?
Glenn's doing well. In fact, we stay in touch, and he's got his guitar on. He's putting down riffs.
Up next, it's Robert DeLeo and Jeff Good from Stone Temple Pilots as they get ready to hit the tour trail in February with an evening with Stone Temple Pilots. That's unplugged acoustic.
I think we're feeling just, interpreting these songs and some of the older stuff live, and looking forward to coming out and performing this acoustically. I think it's going to be a nice evening.
Also, their new record drops in early February. The guys gave me their thoughts on that.
I'm going to say the honesty of it.
Yeah, just get out of it what you want to get out of it.
And more with Robert and Jeff from Stone Temple Pilots, as well as the metal god Rob Halford, today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Yes, another big podcast for you today. Thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. I am Meltdown. Al Beck.
That's right.
Is off to my left. We'll talk about rock news coming up here. A band now, what is it, the fourth largest selling album of all time?
Something like that. There's, yeah. There's a number attached to it.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
One band says they're putting out a song in January. We got some updates as far as that stuff that was stolen from the Randy Rhoads collection. Mm-hmm. Someone's suing Soundgarden. I found this kind of a surprising, and a little bit more today as far as the rock news is concerned. Dude, kind of a sad week for you, it looks like, on social media I saw.
Oh my God, dude, we lost some Star Trek people.
People?
Yeah.
How many did you lose?
There was three.
Wait a second. Hold on. Three Star Trek people died?
Yeah, there was DC Fontana, who was like she was a major writer for the original series and the beginning of Next Gen.
Okay. By the way, Al is also in a podcast called Nerd Radio, which goes to figure.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And who are the other two? I don't know who the first one is, but go ahead.
Well, that's all right. Well, this is going to really be bad because I've never known how to say his last name, but Rene, the guy who plays Odo, the constable from Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
And then there was a guest actor who appeared in the Charlie X original series.
Wait a second, what does Deep Space Nine have to do with Star Trek?
It's Star Trek Deep Space Nine. It's
I thought Deep Space Nine was like a whole different show.
It's a different show, but it's a Star Trek show.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, three of them, man. And I think 2 months ago, we lost another Deep Space Nine actor.
And then didn't you post out about something, maybe it wasn't you, about the guy, the Big Bird guy?
Oh, no, I didn't post about that. But yeah, the Big Bear. What, am I broken up with the Big Bird?
I don't know. I saw that the guy who
Carol Spinney.
How do you know that stuff? Well, Nerd Radio. There you go.
Yeah.
Man, now that we've lost half the audience, we've got a pretty good podcast coming up here for you today. The guys from Stone Temple Pilots
live
getting ready to
prosper.
Yeah, thank you. Nanu nanu, as I always say to you. The guys from Stone Temple Pilots are going to be joined by Robert DeLeo and Jeff Good coming up here in just a bit. They kind of talk about their new record they've got coming out in February, and also about the tour to follow, which is going to be a little bit different. A couple months back, Eric Kretz told me that he couldn't really talk about the tour as far as what they're going to be doing, but it's something a little bit different. Well, the cat's out of the bag now. We'll get into that here coming up in just a little bit. Hey, listen, when you think of metal, when you think of Christmas singers, I mean, what comes to your mind? Bing Crosby, right?
Yeah, of course.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yeah.
What else?
Dean Martin.
What if I were to say Rob Halford?
The metal god can do it all.
That's right. He can do no wrong. It's Rob Halford starting up the podcast today. It's Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Hey, Meltdown. What's up, brother?
You know,
good to speak with you again. What's up, Rick?
Yeah, good to hear from you as well. Yeah, Celestial is out and about. You know, the thing that struck me when I listened to this record was, is there anything that you can't sing?
Well, apparently not. Plenty of practice. I've been doing it for 50 years, so I've had plenty of practice. It was a blast making this record, and the old pipes can still squeak out a tune here and there.
No, it's unbelievable. It's really cool. You got some new tracks on there, of course, all the classics and stuff. Was there any tracks that you wanted to get on the record, but just for whatever reason, it didn't have time to record, didn't like the way it turned out or anything like that?
You know, we covered all the bases. We wanted to make it like a bit of an adventure, like I've done with all of my music, with A Love of My Life Priest, you know, from the opening sequence of Celestial, which is this kind of beautiful soundscape that gets you into the mood, and then my drummer roars it in with Donner and Blitzen, to the, you know, the outro of Little House on the Prairie, protected by the light. It's got everything in between. It's got the lot. We've got everything in there, man. And it's a great record in that respect. Just tremendous, tremendous dynamics and a real beautiful Christmas time holiday spirit journey together.
Now, I can't be the first one to bring this up, but Donner and Blitzen has a very Lightning Strikes kind of Priest era kind of feel to it.
Yeah, here's the thing. So I'm busy working with Priest, making the Firepower record, and touring as well. And this, to me, this record is all about the guys. I put my voice on towards the back end of it, and they said to me, you know, what can we do and what can we not do? And I go, well, firstly, you can do whatever the hell you want because it's your record. Don't let any limitations get in the way. Just seize the opportunity and just do whatever you want, you know. So these guys went in there and they arranged all of these songs, these great Christmas classic carols, Little Town of Bethlehem, George the World, on and on. But the original material, this, you know, all musicians have inspiration, all musicians have peers, all musicians have people that they look up to that kind of led them in their own musical journey. So when they presented Donner and Blitzen to me, it felt right. It was like a glove, you know. I know it's got some Priest in there, and why shouldn't it? The guys love Priest. And it was just a great way to capture that spirit and put it into that one particular track, Donner and Blitzen.
Yeah, that record, that song actually could have been on Firepower, it sounds like. But hey, I knew I was going to talk to you over the weekend, and I'm watching football and stuff, and I see a Breaking the Law on a State Farm commercial. How did that come about?
I didn't even know about that.
Come on, really?
Hey, you're on a commercial. What? You're on a commercial right now. I am? Yeah. I tell you what's so beautiful about that is the way that Priest is in American culture. You have to be really embedded in this great country as a nation to have that opportunity for your music. You know, for that to be on a TV commercial across this vast landscape of the United States. And there's the guy doing the drum thing, you know, Breaking the Law. What a great song to choose. But to hear, I went online and saw it, and I'm like, yeah, did somebody tell me about this? Because I didn't know about it. But it was a blast, man. It's a lot of fun. And that's cool. It's a bonus. Heavy metal bonus.
No, yeah, just talking to you as well. It's like, you know, 50 years in, and now in 2019, almost 2020, you're talking about another tour. You're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, could you have envisioned all of this going on? I mean, as a kid, just starting this band out?
Never, ever, ever, because as we're talking now, Dan, I can remember those very first early days of rehearsals in Priest. My mind is so vivid. When you're in a band, right, when you're in a band and you have a long life in the band, it's the early days that carried the maximum amount of memories, because that's when everything that you do, everything you strive for, everything that you believe in is at its most potent. Not that that ever goes away.
What? Are you there? Yeah. You guys there?
Rob, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Rob, you were saying that in the early days, like, you know, it's so potent, and then not that that ever goes away, but continue on.
Yeah, and the early days are your anchor. They're like your touchstone. You know, you keep referencing the early days, because that's where it all began, you know, and you look back at those early days with a lot of fun memories, and the timeline has been going on now from then until now, 50 years later.
Yeah, and I got to ask you, I mean, obviously with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nomination and stuff like that, I asked Michael McDonald, believe it or not, we're on two different sides of the spectrum here last week, but I asked him, you know, obviously outside of your band, who do you think should go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with you?
Well, everybody that's nominated, especially from the British side, we've got a great slew of British metal acts this year. So, you know, everybody deserves a place in the hall. That's the kind of the bummer of it, because nobody, you know, not everybody gets in. But all of the great talent that's listed for nominees this year, they're all incredibly worthy, if that's the right word to use. They're esteemed, talented artists from their own genres of music. So, you know, but definitely Lizzy, Motorhead, they all need to be in there.
Yeah, you were talking a few weeks ago about, like, you know, bands and singers like Whitney Houston and stuff. I mean, where does that stop as far as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Do you think, like, any musician should get in, or, I mean, Mariah Carey, anything like that?
You kick the doors down. That's what I like about the way that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame embraces everybody. Rock and roll means a lot of things. It's just this great statement, you know. And I think for them to be so welcoming and unconditional and just say that, hey, you know, music is music, and you do what you do, you pay your dues, you have a long life, you put out a rich display of your talent that connects to millions of people. Yeah, it's for everybody.
Yeah, and I remember talking to Scott Weiland one time, and he said it would be the pinnacle of his career. I mean, this is kind of a silly question, but would that be the top for you as far as, you know, recognition of your music and your legacy?
It would certainly be a tremendous honor and recognition for all the work that we've done, and because of what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame represents in amplifying those feelings, because it's no different to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame or the NFL Hall of Fame, you know, Basketball Hall of Fame. When you're in that place with all of those other incredibly beautiful people, it's great, man. Recognition and it's motivational as well. It's not the end game. It's not the end. You know, for a lot of us, it's a free song. It's the beginning of the end. You know, it just keeps you It gives you the boost. It makes you forge ahead, which is what we're doing right now. We're planning and we're making a new Priest album right now. So all of that is part of the way the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has a knock-on effect.
Are we going to hear some new Priest in 2020?
Probably not. No, but we've started work, and like I've always said, it'll be ready when it's ready. But we're probably moving faster now than we ever did, because the clock is ticking. Thank you, Rock, and thank you, Rolling Stones. You know, man, that band. When I watch Mick and the boys, man, it makes my heart swell. And where those guys are doing it at that point in their life, man. I said years ago, I want to be screaming at Painkiller when I turn 80. I want to be on a stage somewhere. It was the 25th.
Yeah,
I
think I asked you last time, you know, if you see an end of this, you're like, no, man, I'm going to keep going. I mean, they got these farewell tours out nowadays. There's probably too many farewell tours now, eh?
Yeah, it's a beautiful life in rock and roll, and I never want to switch it off, man. I want to keep that electricity buzzing. It's so important as a musician to have that connectivity, and that connectivity is stronger than ever now with our beautiful fans and supporters. What you guys do at the Riff's been looking after Priest forever. So we're all in it for a good time, and the party ain't going to end.
Well, Rob, last thing for you here, they're going to cut me off. Any word on how Glenn's doing? Can you give us an update on Glenn Tipton?
Thank you for asking. Yeah, Glenn's doing well. In fact, we stay in touch, and he's got his guitar on. He's putting down riffs and ideas for new Priest music. And
really?
He's a hero. You know, we have that song on Firepower called No Surrender. Glenn's with us in spirit wherever we play. And he's doing a great job in Glenn's part of the stage. And, you know, it's important. Just say hi to Glenn on social media, on the Priest sites, because he looks at them. You know, he means the world to him. He loves his fans passionately. And so anything like that thrown in Glenn's way is a real thrill for him.
Well, Rob, I cannot tell you how much of a pleasure it is every time I get a chance to talk to you. Looking forward to seeing you guys in 2020. Celestial is out. Have a great Christmas. And as always, thanks for the time. And keep the metal hot, as you told me one time.
Yeah, that's it, Mel. It's a pleasure, buddy. Thank you, Rip Detroit. We love you guys. Very metal Christmas to you, and a happy 2020. And we'll see you then.
You got it, Rob. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Truly one of the nicest guys and a legend, of course, Rob Helford, today on the Talkin' Rock and Meltdown podcast. I had a chance to talk with him a bunch of times, and I've met him a bunch of times. Just couldn't be nicer. And, you know, just a super guy. I know I don't use this phrase very often when I talk about guys, but just a real sweetheart of a guy. There's no question about that. I hope you guys dug that. Hey, coming up for you next, Jeff Gutz and Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots. More nice guys on the podcast. Hey, when I saw Jeff Gutz back a couple months ago out on tour with the guys from Rival Sons, I get this feeling that he's still like in this mode, like, man, I can't even believe I'm here. They're gonna find out one day that I don't belong here and kick me out. But he's doing great, man. I'll tell you what, go see those guys in concert. Jeff's awesome. Happened to talk to Robert. I was walking around backstage for a second, and I just happened to talk to him, and I started telling him about my love of the song Tripping on a Hole in a Paper Heart, which I just played on the radio a couple minutes previous this conversation. And it's just me, him, and his assistant walking through this backstage area, and I'm 5'6", and Robert's like, I don't know, 6'2" or something. He's a bigger guy. He actually starts walking with me and puts his arm around me and thanks me and starts telling me about, you know, different songs and different things like that. But I mean, just more nice people. And I hope you guys dig this conversation. They have a real cool tour coming up, which Eric and Jeff started telling me about back at the end of September, but they couldn't let the cat out of the bag too much. Well, now it's out of the bag. And these guys are here to explain a little bit more about what they're doing in early 2020 as far as Stone Temple Pilots concerned.
Is this Mr. Meltdown?
Hey, Jeff, is that you? How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, brother?
It's going great. Is Robert around, too?
He's here.
I'm here.
Hey, great to hear you guys' voices. Here we are. You know, Jeff, when I talked to you back in September, Eric was saying he couldn't really, you couldn't open up your Christmas presents before Christmas, but I guess it's close enough now, so now we know what you guys are doing, right? Do you remember that conversation?
Barely.
So tell us about the new album and the tour and everything that's coming down the pike for STP.
Well, we were on a tour up in Canada in the winter, and we started playing guitars and kind of came up with songs, and it was Robert came in with a lot of ideas and a lot of melodies and a lot of lyrics, and we just kind of went from there and rolled forward with it. We were only supposed to do a few songs, and it ended up becoming a whole record. So happy accident, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what Eric was saying. Go ahead, Robert. Were you going to say something?
I was burping.
Okay. Sorry. But Robert, tell me about this stage of the game as far as the Stone Temple Pilots legacy is concerned. Maybe stripping it back down a little bit and putting out this album.
You know, it's just a little moment in time to just reflect on life. And, you know, I think we're feeling just, you know, interpreting these songs and some of the older stuff live, and looking forward to coming out and performing this acoustically. I think it's going to be a nice evening.
Yeah, and so the evening with Stone Temple Pilots is going to be, is it going to be kind of like an MTV Unplugged type thing?
Well, I think that's where it started, you know, in 93. God, it was that long ago.
Yeah, geez.
93. Whoa. You know, it's always a pleasure to kind of interpret the songs the way they were written. You know, I think all the songs start, for me, I can speak for Dean, too. All the songs, whether they get turned into electric songs, they're always interpreted and started. They came to light on an acoustic guitar. So with this record, we just kind of kept it in that place. And, gosh, we only had a few songs, and then it turned into a whole record. So it's just kind of taken this life of its own, you know. And I think it's going to be really cool to see this live. We're going to be adding a couple of other musicians and adding some strings and kind of making it a nice evening.
Now, last time I saw you guys here in Detroit, Jeff, you guys, of course, were obviously plugged in, and of course, a big old rock show. Is there any anxiety when singing or playing unplugged up there on stage, not being able to hide behind that big wall of sound?
It's decompressing in a way, you know. It's not as high voltage. It's more laid back and stripped down, and I think that's a beautiful place. It's, you know, the essence of it all.
Now, as far as some of the Stone Temple Pilots songs with Scott and the band, Jeff, what are some of the ones you're looking forward to doing acoustic?
Oh man, I'm looking forward to doing some of the ones that wouldn't be thought of being acoustic, you know, it's like kind of reinterpreting things and doing known things in a new way, I suppose.
Now, Robert, I remember when you guys came back here, came to the radio station, I mean, it's got to be 20 years ago or so, and you guys did Sour Girl. That was the first thing I thought of when I heard you guys doing the acoustic thing. Do you remember doing those radio pressers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, it's... You know, it's great unless it's 7 a.m.
It's hard to sing in the morning.
Yeah.
I can barely talk, as you can tell.
Yeah, it's hard to play in the morning. Yeah, it's always been that kind of thing where it's always enjoyable, you know, stripping the song down to... You get a different perspective of the song. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, I know the word you're looking for.
Yeah, it's called lack of coffee. I need more coffee right now.
Yeah, it's so funny because I think Trent Reznor said one time, or maybe it was Chris Cornell, where Johnny Cash sang, yeah, Chris Cornell, I think, Johnny Cash sang Rusty Cage, and his friends actually noticed the lyrics when somebody else was doing it. Maybe it was a little bit more stripped down. You kind of find the same thing like that, eh?
Well, it's true because you know, when I hear a cover of a song, I always... It just takes me to a different place, and you kind of appreciate the song a little more, no matter who it is or what song it is. It always gives you a different appreciation.
People tend to lean in more when it's acoustic.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, this is going to be cool. So you guys are coming through the Motor City on February 21st. And when does this rock record drop? I've been trying to find the date here.
February 7th?
February 7th.
Okay, so we'll have a couple
weeks.
That was a guess.
Might want to double check that.
we'll definitely check that out for sure. What's one of the things you want people to gravitate towards when they put this record on?
Honesty of it.
What's that, Jeff?
I'm going to say the honesty of it.
Yeah, just get out of it what you want to get out of it. You know, I think that's the beauty of music. Everyone interprets songs and lyrics differently, so just enjoy and get out of it what you get out of it.
Let it take you to your own place.
Yeah.
Jeff, pretty excited about this, eh?
Yeah. Anytime you get to record with guys like this, it's an opportunity and it's a blessing. So I, you know, try to make the most of every moment that I can.
Yeah. There you go. You coming back to the Motor City for the holidays at all, you think?
I will be back soon, man.
All right. Well, hit me up when you come back.
I was just going to say that. Hit me up. I hit you up.
All right. There you go. Perfect. Well, listen, guys, good luck on the new album. We'll see you here in Detroit in the 21st of February as the new record drops. And thanks so much for the time, guys.
Thank you. Happy holidays, man.
You too, man. Thanks, guys.
Later, man. Thank you.
And there you have it again. Once again, exceeding the price of admission for this podcast.
Sure, yeah.
Which is zero.
Yeah.
But wow. Then we give you a little bit more.
Yeah,
so,
it only costs you time.
That's right. Two for the price of one. Once again with Rob Halford, the Metal God, and now doing the Christmas thing. And also Jeff Gute and Robert Leo from Stone Temple Pilots as their record's coming out. You know, they were talking about this with us. Jeff and Eric were talking about this with me on the podcast about, I don't know, a month and a half or so ago, 2 months ago, whatever it was. And Eric so rightly said, it's not Christmas yet. You can't unwrap your presents before Christmas. And here we are. And now we've figured out what doing with their Stone Temple Pilots doing the acoustic thing. So
yep, sounds good, man.
So yeah. What's up with you, Al?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just sitting here ready to do some rock news.
All right, well, let's start with this AC/DC thing, because I just saw this.
Yeah.
I was telling you about it. It's kind of a confusing headline article in the one I have. Yeah. It says, Back in Black becomes second best-selling album in the world. Then it lists three albums before it, so it's actually the fourth best-selling. Yeah. And then it says, well, it's sold an estimated 50 million copies, but I don't know. What have you figured out?
Well, I haven't seen anything about a second best-selling, but here's the headline I've got, is that Back in Black has been certified 25 times platinum in the U.S.
That's a lot of cash.
That's
I've always said this. It's like, you know, Brian Johnson, Angus Young, whatever, they just wake up every day, walk to the mailbox, get a check, go back inside.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, think about all the music that AC/DC has had in TV commercials and just the tours and, you know, you name it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so.
And this does, the article I'm looking at points it out that it is the fourth biggest selling album of all time.
We'll take it.
I don't know if it's like, if the comparison is worldwide versus U.S., maybe that's where the discrepancy is coming in. But either way, whether it's second or fourth, that's a lot of goddamn albums that they've sold.
No doubt about that.
And it is also, they point out, the first one with Brian Johnson. It's the first one without Bon Scott.
What a huge success. It's got to be the biggest record of all time as far as changing a member, a key member of the band like this. You know?
Yeah.
So so they were right behind the Eagles' Greatest Hits. That's 38 times platinum. Jeez. Michael Jackson's Thriller. And Eagles Hotel California as well. So there's your top four as far as records are concerned. You know, it's funny to think, like, for example, like, you know, Kid Rock, that Devil Without a Cause record, I want to say is like 11 or 12 times platinum, right?
Sure.
That might be one of the top selling albums in the history of mankind. Think about that for a second. Like, just some of these records, you know?
Right.
It's in the top 100. Of all the, think of all the albums that have ever come out in all time.
All of them.
And it's like, Kid Rock's got one in the top 100. You know, stuff like that.
And people don't buy albums like they used to, so some of these are records that may never be broken.
Yeah, now there's going to be, like, you know, streaming and different things, so.
I think they do factor those in. I think a certain number of streams count as a sale or something. They do count that stuff, so bands still at least get credit for their reach.
Yeah, I think it's cheating, but whatever.
Well, you know, but like you said, you know, AC/DC really only needs to go to the mailbox and collect a check, but I love starting the story this way. According to Dee Snider, they may be doing something more than just walking to the mailbox and back. And again, this is according to a tweet from Dee Snider of Twisted Sister, so take it what you will. But it sounds like, according to him, we may actually see that AC/DC reunion with Brian Johnson and Phil Rudd in 2020, possibly releasing an album and also maybe a tour. Again, according to Dee Snider, who is not an AC/DC, but may have that inside look.
He's our rock insider.
Right. However, it would stand to reason, because they will be celebrating their 50th anniversary next year.
Wow, 50th anniversary. So 1970. And plus, they're going to be doing some stuff. The record's going to have some of the stuff with Malcolm on it, from what I understand, because they have some tracks left over from before he passed away.
Yeah.
So, hey, listen, a world without AC/DC is like, it's useless.
Right.
You have to have AC/DC.
True.
So, well, let's switch gears to Soundgarden. You know, it's kind of funny because Kim Thayil. Go ahead.
Speaking of having leftover recordings, that's kind of the big issue in this story here.
Yeah, Kim Thayil was talking about this in an interview about a month ago, that, you know, they want to release some stuff, but I guess the sticking point is Vicki Cornell, Chris's widow, and now a lawsuit's coming out. You know, and that's always... it's always discouraging.
It's getting, the situation's getting stickier, it seems, because Vicki Cornell is now claiming, as you mentioned, Kim had wanted to release, let me start that over.
Yeah.
Soundgarden would like to release that album that they started with Chris Cornell. They said they don't want to tour on it. They just want to take what they started with Chris, finish it, and put it out. And I think that's respectable. This isn't like, oh, we uncovered this Jimi Hendrix thing that he never wanted to put out, and we're going to put it out anyway.
Right.
This is an album they had started, but Vicki has got all of those masters. And so now she is filing a suit against Soundgarden, saying that they've been withholding some of their royalty checks, like hundreds of thousands of dollars of royalty checks, to try and force her to release those recordings. So now they're going to be in a court battle over royalties and the Cornell recordings.
You know, I was kind of hoping it wouldn't go that way, but we'll see what happens. Seemed like the guys from Soundgarden were in a pretty good place when Chris passed away, and maybe they weren't. I don't know. Maybe it just got stickier after he left, but you know, who's to say? I don't know. We'll see what happens with that coming forward. I'm a big Soundgarden fan, so I'd like to hear some new stuff.
Yeah.
I'm also a big Ghost fan, and I guess Ghost is going to be releasing one song in January. Yes. Do you know what this is for?
No, and Tobias Forge isn't actually releasing that information, but yeah, they are going to be working on their next album, and he said that right after the holidays, they're going to start working, they're going to jump in the studio, and kind of right here at the first of the year, Tobias wants to get in the studio, record a song, and then release it right away, and he does kind of allude that it's for a special project that will become clear in the coming year. So he's not saying what it's for, but he did kind of want to get something out there just to, you know, tie this over until the album's done.
Okay, so he gave us like a completely vanilla quote that means nothing.
There's a song coming.
Yeah, there's a song coming. Okay. All right, in January too, great. You know, I was thinking about this. In the last 10 years, I'm trying to think, when did Ghost start? Do you remember?
I don't recall.
Because in the last 10 years, that may be one of the biggest rising bands.
Sure.
As far as, you know, 2010 to 2020. I saw those guys, you know, great band at Precal Records, killer, and just a great band who I see live in concert as well. What do you got? When did they start? Are you looking it up?
I was trying to look it up, and I got redirected to a wrong article. Well, according to Wikipedia, which of course can be altered.
Right. No, but according to Michael Scott, it's the most useful information because anybody can just put anything on it.
Absolutely. That's right. Years active since 2006.
Yeah, I thought they were around a little bit before 2010, but they've really started to pop here in the last half of the decade. So.
Yeah.
So
I got to tell you, trying to look up Ghost is kind of difficult when you're looking for the band. There's a lot of different stuff that can come up.
Yeah. So let's switch gears here to Ozzy and Randy Rhoads. You know, it would have been Randy Rhoads' 63rd birthday last week.
Yeah.
And man, I'll tell you, I go back and constantly put on those records, Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman. And I wrote about this on a blog recently. I think I had the top three Randy Rhoads songs. Are you a Randy Rhoads fan?
I do like Randy Rhoads, of course.
All right, so can you name your top three? I'll tell you my top three.
No, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything ever.
There you go.
I don't like being put on the spot.
Yeah, so anyways,
I don't even have information when it's written in front of me.
Right, exactly. We don't expect much from you, and that's exactly what we get every single week on this. But no, my top three songs were, I can't remember the third one now. Diary of a Madman was one. Revelation, Mother Earth. Just love that song. And what was the other one, man? Now I can't find anything I wanted to talk about. But yeah, those two songs are so good. And it's like, because, you know, Randy Rhoads kind of like mixed classical with classical sensibilities with metal. And, you know, I don't know if
I love the choice of Diary.
Yeah, Diary of a Madman is just so good.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things where I don't know if anybody had really done that before he did that. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, all right, let's see. What are my top three? My Thursday top three. Yeah, if you can get a chance, WRIF.com. Every Thursday I post a top three. This Thursday I might post the top three rock songs. Yeah, You Can't Kill, rock shows I saw this year. You Can't Kill Rock and Roll is like my third. You know, like songs like I Don't Know and Suicide Solution, Crazy Train, all that kind of stuff they're kind of givens, right? But with Randy Rhoads, what's kind of cool about Randy, and listen to some of the songs that he's done, like for example, I'm just going to spit it out, like Mr. Crowley, the song ends with guitar solo fading out, like that stuff didn't really happen.
Right.
That I could recall. Maybe I'm missing something, but it's like he has a guitar solo in the middle, then they do the final chorus, and then he's got this guitar solo just ripping out in the back. He did the same thing in, I think, No Bone Movies. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. So, anyways. Yeah, Little Dolls, Tonight. Those are other examples I post on here of songs that end kind of the same way.
Well, you're not the only Rhoads fan out there. In fact, somebody was maybe a fan enough to steal some of his gear from a music school. Or just a scumbag. Maybe a little bit of both. I mean, scumbags can be fans of stuff, too. The Musonia School of Music had a number of his items that had been stolen. As a matter of fact, I mean, Ozzy was certainly offended by this, and even Ozzy Osbourne himself stepped up and offered a $25,000 reward for information regarding its whereabouts. Some of the items have been recovered, and this is almost more offensive than the theft to begin with. because some of them were found in a dumpster.
I saw that, and some of them were like, you know, pictures and different things, but they're looking for that guitar.
Yes.
That's the big one.
The guitar is still missing, and a few other instruments as well are still out there. But like I said, like, it sucks that, I mean, it's cool that they recovered some of it, but the fact that they just threw it in a dumpster is like adds insult to it, you know?
Yeah, Randy Rhoads died so young. It's just, man, can you just imagine what he could have done had he just continued? I mean, he influenced so many people. I mean, Dimebag Darrell and Zach Wilde, just off the top of my head, of course, Zach. Because,
oh, yeah, of course.
It's just so many people are influenced by Randy Rhoads. So, yeah, that's too bad. Anyways, final thing here. I thought that Kiss kind of had the market cornered as far as putting their logo on stuff. But Led Zeppelin's jumping in the game a little bit.
Well, huh? And I've said that Metallica, I think, might be the new Kiss. They put their logo on socks and wetsuits recently.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
Led Zeppelin looks like going to be teaming up for a line of Hot Wheels. So they've got a line of Hot Wheel cars coming out, including a truck, a tour bus, a 70s-style conversion van, all decorated, of course, with logos and art from Zeppelin's album covers. So pretty cool. They're even going to have a little vanity license plate that say, like, lot of love, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, I've got some Kiss Matchbox cars. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and Black Sabbath, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't know if they're, are they Matchbox cars? Yeah, I guess they would be. Anyways, I had Tony Iommi sign a couple of my Black Sabbath ones, which are really cool. I don't think I have any of them signed by Kiss, although now I can't remember. I do have a wine bottle signed by Kiss.
Oh, there you go.
You know, it's signed by Paul, anyways. Kiss wine, you know.
All right.
So, because they had that, too.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, right, exactly. So what do you got going on, man? What's your socials?
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, if you get a chance, hit me up at Meltdown WRIF. I think we might have a podcast or two here before the end of the year. Nothing pressing as of right now. We're getting to the time where, you know, bands are starting to kind of, you know, really, what are they plugging? You know, nothing.
Right.
And we'll start to pick it back up and start to get pretty heavy probably at the end of January and starting cranking things up in February, just like it kind of goes. But hey, as always, if you get a chance to give this a 5-star rating, write a review if you get a chance, subscribe as well. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.